Schumacher hits David Coulthard and is out. George Russell is the Formula 2 champion.
Oh! Hitchcliffe with a big one.
Big one.
Hello, I'm in charge. This is not a good idea.
I'm back.
And you're back. And I'm back as well, because we were meant to do one last week, except I was in hospital and you were on a honeymoon. So we're doing well.
Yeah. I think I've been demoted now because my first week back and Carl's the one in charge. And for those of you watching on the video, you'll notice I'm a certain different aspect ratio than normal. I'm also wearing a headset instead of talking into a nice, clean, crisp microphone. And there's no green screen up. So for the first time ever, you can see the craziness that happens behind me when I'm trying to podcast.
Yeah.
And the reason is because I'm doing a show at a school this week and I left my laptop at said school and didn't realize till like half hour before we were meant to be recording. So I've got this really makeshift setup at the moment. I've got my phone on a load of flight cases and my iPad open to give me, well, not my iPad, I don't use Apple products, but my my tablet open to kind of just kind of show me like standings and things. And I've got the cats causing chaos behind me as usual.
Which is nothing, nothing changes that.
Except they're not going to rip the green screen down this time. They're just going to like play with a box, seemingly. Max is going to play with a box, seemingly.
So Tom was on his honeymoon last week, which we had. And you look like an amazing time. Is that the first time you've been in a helicopter?
No.
All right. There we go. Emily's?
Just dropping this one down there. The other time was when I did a helicopter tour of the Albert Park circuit.
Let me pick that up for you there. I ended up having lots of infections of my thumb, my throat, and a bit of everything. I can hear myself still, so I don't quite know why. Maybe I'm hearing you through the headphones.
Possibly, yeah.
So I ended up collapsing outside a pub, ironically.
And they all thought I was drunk.
It was quite funny. But I was stone sober. And all very good. And yeah, I've been on drugs and came off them last week and I've started two jobs. So it's all busy, busy, busy. What time were you up this morning?
You were probably up before me. I had a lie in this morning. My alarm went off at 5:30.
Yeah, I was at work at 5:30. So, yeah. It was one of those. So I'm in Dublin at the moment. Wicklow officially. And Tom's on his phone. And I've got my desk and everything and chair and we're all good. Anyway,
yeah, you're two screens, Tommy, today.
And, yeah.
That cat is playing with a box. Why do you never do anything? Unfortunately, we do have now a one third less chance of being interrupted by a cat on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
As, unfortunately, the one that you wouldn't have ever seen on the podcast, Minnie, the old maid. Unfortunately, she passed away while I was on holiday. But you've not seen this, so I'll share this with you, Carl.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I got a little gravestone for her. Read it out.
Unconditional love personified, but get in the way of her food?
Yeah, get in the way of her food. She loves her food.
There we go. Right, rest in peace, Minnie.
Bless her.
I'm sorry. Is she down the bottom of the garden with everyone else?
Yeah, because obviously she went while I was away. Mum had her cremated for me because it was too long to stick her in the freezer. So. We laugh because it takes the pain away. She inquired at the local vet to see if they could put her in cold storage until I got back, but unfortunately they weren't able to because it was too long. So she just went and got her cremated, and I have a nice little cremation casket which I'm gonna bury on top of Cooper. So
she's how she always wants to be. So exactly. It will be Mini Cooper. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about Formula One.
Let's do that.
And other people that might have been created. We think this was possibly the best race of the season. Let's even just start there.
Yeah. 100%. Best race of the season. There was, I think what made this race excellent was there was no real foul play in there. You know, there's a couple of dodgy track limits violations and people being a bit liberal with the rules with regards to like barging off track and stuff, but it was just good racing. And yeah, even without the safety car, it was still a cracking race. And then the safety car, although yet again a safety car ruins Lewis Hamilton's race, to be honest, he only lost one position because of the safety car, but it then just energized the entire field. And we just saw this is what has made the new rules great. If you've got tracks like Silverstone where you've got multiple lines through corners and you can have people undertaking, overtaking, wombling free, then you know it's just brilliant. It's just brilliant with these regulations. It's like it's like the first lap, the last 12 laps, like the first lap of the race, just over and over and over.
Yeah,
and no holds barred fighting.
You know, it did have the crash bang wallop, which is always very well, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But it also had had an amazing finish, and you know, and it was Mick Schumacher was trying to have a pop. You know, it was just like everyone was. You could see everyone trying. And enjoying it from top to bottom. And it was quite an interesting one. Anyway, we should do our top 12, top 20, sorry, backwards, shouldn't we? We could do it backwards. We can do it whichever way you want. Which way do you want? Do you want odds or evens?
You're in charge, so you say.
Are we doing it backwards? Because I always feel like if we go forwards, we end up talking about the top ones a bit more excitedly, and then we get to the bottom, we're just like,
All right, we'll start.
So we're going to go with one. As I'm in charge, we're starting with the last. You start with Alwyn, and then I get the winner.
Fantastic. So, Alex Albon's entire race, I watched back on the onboards, and it's about 4 seconds. He's just got off the line reasonably okay, got reared by Vettel and then in the barrier, and that's the end of his race. Oh no, it wasn't. He bounced back on track and then got hit again and then got to hospital.
I'm guessing that's the G-force thing, but anyway, we're talking about that.
Yes, in a race where there was a tremendous crash, in a race where he ended up in hospital, there's somebody else takes all the headlines, so he must be pretty gutted about that.
Right, talking about the man in the headlines, Joe, and all I can say is Halo saved life. That's literally it, and we'll talk about that a bit later. I don't want to go too much into that one. And the next person as well, my favorite person, and I have an opinion on him, as I'm sure you can imagine, George Russell.
Okay, so George Russell, he slow start on the hards, and then he got pinched by Gasly and I can't remember who it was now. Gasly and Joe. And then as a result, he inadvertently caused the accident to Joe, and then claimed that he had claimed basically. Yeah, we'll get onto this later. Yeah, he claimed that his car was taken away when he was trying to help Joe.
Where's my car?
Yeah, anyway, and that's the end of that.
Yep. Valtteri Bottas, I can't remember what the feck he did. I know he retired. I know he retired, but I don't like. But he wasn't in any of the instances, was he? I don't know why. Technical. I don't know what happened to him. Sorry. Right, Gasly.
Gasly. Yeah. Okay. So again, involved in the opening lap collision, was pinched by Russell and Joe, causing drove into a bit of a wedge, causing the accident. Was then got his recompense later in the race when his teammate decided to take him out, and then retired with a technical gremlin, which we are not aware if it was or was not caused by Tsunoda's impact with him. That's his race.
I've no idea what happened to Ocon either. He just retired as well.
Did he? Well, no, Ocon had some stuff happen to him. Come on.
Which one?
Opening lap shunt.
Oh, yeah.
His suspension got broken.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then they fixed it, didn't they?
Yeah. And then he caused a safety car.
And we'll actually talk about that one. I forgot it was him that caused a safety car. Look, it was 2 days ago, and I'm like on about 3 hours sleep. So, Tsunoda.
Tsunoda. Quiet race until he ended up ruining three Red Bull drivers' races, including his own. He ruined his own race by...
Oh, is that when they were pirouetting together?
Yeah, he ruined
his own race. It was quite good. It was like synchronized.
He ruined his own race by taking a daring overtake and then lost control and then took out Pierre Gasly, which ruined both of their races. And then the resulting impacts caused, I think it was his front wing end fence that was removed from his car. And that was the debris that Max Verstappen ran over. which then caused the floor damage.
Daniel Ricciardo, if everyone ended up in the right places, you would have ended up in 19th. That's it. Like, yeah, I think stuff happened to him, but I don't know quite what. And I think it's just, I don't know what's going on with him. Should he go? Probably. Anyway, Nicholas Latifi.
We will talk about him later as well, I'm sure. Nicholas Latifi, fantastic qualifying session. Very, very unexpected.
Yeah,
out-qualified his teammate in when his teammate had the upgrades. It was worth a second a lap, they reckoned. Worked out well with the timings of his laps. Got a great start, overtook George Russell, was up into eighth place at the start, ran in the points for most of the race, but then just his pace just wasn't strong enough and he didn't have that slice of luck to get him into the points. Qualified much higher than he probably should have done and just naturally fell back to his normal finishing position, but he still beat a McLaren and an AlphaTauri. So
yeah,
that's not a bad return.
Fair play. Lance Stroll. Yeah, another one I can't even remember. Did he do anything? Don't remember him doing much. No,
not really, just can't remember the points.
Yeah, he didn't do much. K-Mag.
K-Mag, he's someone I didn't see a lot of either. Just didn't have the pace of Schumacher all weekend. Schumacher was just, yeah. I've got Schumacher in a minute anyway. But
yeah,
so yeah, just didn't have the pace of his teammate. He managed to hold on, didn't make a stop under the safety car to try and hold on to track position. Didn't really work, but he did manage to salvage a point out of it, which is probably all he would have got anyway. And he managed to stay ahead of Lance Stroll. So, you know, that's I suppose, something.
Yeah. Sebastian Vettel. Average race, average drive. Vettel's just enjoying life. I don't think he really cares anymore. I think he's being a bit more worrying about the world and just enjoying, just driving around in circles.
Yeah, I think with Vettel, I'm sure we'll talk about Vettel as well and his race later as well. So I'll make a note.
He's clocked out. Anyway, Mick Schumacher,
another strong performance from him. Well, I'd say another person who's had a strong performance, definitely under pressure. Been the bestest teammate over the entire weekend, was pretty much always in the points, made that late stop under the safety car, was made a pass on Sebastian Vettel right at the end and looked like he was going to get Verstappen. But I think, you know, maybe he was a little too kind to Verstappen, but knowing what Verstappen's like, he definitely
I'd be too kind to Verstappen.
Definitely you treat that Red Bull like the hind legs of a donkey. And that's exactly what he did. Because can you imagine if on the last lap he ended up getting taken out and retired from the race in a 50-50, driving incident or something that, you know, was his own fault as well, if he was too ambitious. Can you imagine the swear words coming out of Gunter Steiner's mouth if he'd have not finished that race? So,
it's worth him coming with the 4 points and 8.
4 points,
so,
yeah.
You know,
4 points, definitely... almost got the 6 points, but the 4 points, and I'm just doing a quick googling here, means that he is now on four points. He's just 1 point behind Joe, and he's now ahead of Alex Albon and Lance Stroll in the championship. So overall, very, very good race for Mick Schumacher.
Verstappen. I feel sorry for Verstappen because obviously something was going on with that car. Did they ever find out what was really going on? They sort of were saying there was a downforce issue or something in the back.
Yeah, it was the underside of the floor. The floors are so essential because of the aerodynamic connecting to the ground. Aerodynamics connecting to the ground. They just lost too much downforce.
And just constantly complained and complained and complained.
For good reason.
And complained. And complained again. I don't think he even knew what he wanted. He's like a small child that's been given a lollipop and a packet of crisps and just throws them both out because it's not a popsicle. You know, it's just like, crack on, you stupid idiot. Right, go on. Lando Norris, your boy.
I would just like to say on Verstappen there, he did at least fight till the end there. He didn't like say,
at least he did.
The car.
Yeah. Yeah,
he still fought. Lando Norris, McLaren did him dirty again. He had the pace for fifth, and could potentially, if he'd have been ahead of Alonso, which he should have been, he could maybe have pushed Leclerc. He had certainly had more pace. He had pace in hand. Him and Alonso were just glued to each other in the final stage of the races. And McLaren's poor, inability
poor
to act.
Mismanagement. And no support from Ricciardo, which didn't help.
At the end of the day, Leclerc had 6 seconds. Ferrari has 6 seconds to decide whether or not to stop Leclerc. Norris was fifth at the time. He was about 20 seconds back. They had half a minute to decide if they were going to pit Norris or not. And they decided not to. And then realizing that they'd made a huge mistake and he was going to end up dropping out of the points, they stopped him, which then made him lose one position. So, I mean, yeah, it's one position. He, in reality, he probably would have finished fifth, but he might have had a run at Leclerc at fourth had McLaren not... actually reacted the way that most other teams did and most other teams managed to do. I think they just did him the dirty there. He was never going to gain any positions by not stopping. So the only thing he guaranteed by stopping a lap later was that he was going to be losing track position to Alonso. I think by then you either commit to it or you stop him the first time around. Yeah. But this kind of half and half strategy they gave him just lost him the position. And he was blooming lucky that it was Verstappen in seventh place with loads of issues with his car, or he could have ended up dropping down even further.
But I've got Alonso. I mean, fair play on him being there. I don't think he should have been in fifth, but he is amazing at keeping out trouble. You have to give it to him. He's always brilliant at keeping out of the nightmare troubles.
Yep.
And that's what got him there, as well as some, you know, good pit strategy. I think that's what got him there more than anything. You've got Charlie Boy.
Sorry, I was just coughing. I don't know if the mute button works on this.
That
one.
Worked.
It's my phone. Did it work? Did. Oh, excellent. Good to know. Excellent. Cool. Charlie Leclerc. Oh, how the hell did he not win that race? With damage to his front wing, which, okay, granted, was caused
by... why he didn't finish the race.
Yeah. Which, that win you know, the damage to his front wing was caused by him taking a bit of an unrealistic lunge on Perez on lap one, causing the damage to his car and also then the damage to... the damage to his car falling off his car and hitting Perez's front wing also then damaged Perez's car as well. And then even with that, those losing those 5 points of downforce, he was still the quickest man on track for a vast majority of the race. He was quicker than Sainz. And the race was his to lose.
And he did.
Well, it was Ferrari's to lose and Ferrari lost it for him.
Oh yeah. Typical Ferrari doing Ferrari things.
Yep.
Nothing changes. And yet somehow they won again. Anyway, Lewis Hamilton. Fair play. Actually, fair play. This is really proving the argument of the car versus the driver. And I mean, that overtake was just phenomenal. The double overtake was just phenomenal. He couldn't hold it. It was a shame. But you just saw that there was this raw, amazing driver there, and he's not past it. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not a Hamilton fan. We all know that, but he's not past it, and not. I just think, yeah, he's a brilliant driver, and he probably is the GOAT in this really world, in this era. Anyway, Perez.
How the hell did he get second? No, he was what, looking like a fourth position race for him, maybe, and had some damage, had to make an early pit stop, then did a really long stint on the mediums, and then was fortunate enough to hold out until the safety car. Something that I just kind of, if Hamilton had stayed out for three more laps or four more laps, then which he would definitely had the pace to do, then he would have also been very fortuitous with the safety car. But I know it's not my goal on Hamilton, so I'll stop talking about him. But Perez fortuitous with the safety car, but props to him. He was quicker on the restart than Hamilton. Hamilton was having troubles firing up his tyres, which he knew, which is why he was slightly worried about being on the softs, because those softs were being particularly difficult to fire up for him, more so than the mediums, which is very strange. As you'd normally think it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Perez got the jump on him, and you know, despite the Hamilton did get ahead of him in that double overtake that they did there, but Perez showed he had the quickest car on track and he made it pay. It just took him too long to get past Leclerc and Hamilton to then chase down Sainz, but he certainly had the pace to win that race had the safety car happened 5 or 6 laps earlier. But if it happened 5 or 6 laps earlier, then Hamilton would have been way out in front. So, yeah.
Sainz, quite a lucky man.
Yes.
Okay, fair play on him. Props to him. 150th race start and his first win. A deservedly win, and I'm so glad he's got it. But... I think the start, restart of that race gave him the advantage.
So,
safety car, weirdly, but we can talk about that later. Fair play and Sainz, admirable winner. And I'm glad he's got his first win.
Yeah. So that's the reverse order there of the top 10. So if we just have a quick look at the championship standings now, and then we'll go into a bit more, go into the minutiae of the race. So it's Max Verstappen leading on 181 points to Sergio Perez's 147. Not out of that championship fight yet. Charlie Leclerc, 138 points. Carlos Sainz, 11 points back at 127. Just 11 points behind Leclerc. So I'm not sure you can possibly say that Sainz has to fall into that number two driver role because you know Leclerc is not picking up the points, rightly or wrongly. He's not getting as many points as he should. George Russell, 111 points, despite the no score, still remains, 16 points behind Sainz. Lewis Hamilton now 93 points, not that far behind, 18 points behind George when he could potentially have been like 6 or 7 points behind had things gone his way. Lando Norris a bit of a way back there on 58 points with Valtteri Bottas 46, Esteban Ocon 39, Fernando Alonso 28. He's finally starting to get some points. He's finally got more points than he's got penalty points. Yeah. Pierre Gasly 16, Kevin Magnussen 16, Sebastian Vettel 15, Daniel Ricciardo 15. Shocking. Yuki Tsunoda 11, Guanyu Zhou 5, Mick Schumacher now up to 4 and jumping up to the 17th, Albon 3, Stroll 3, Latifi has now overtaken Hülkenberg in the championship but now still remains on 0 points but has the best finish out of those two drivers, which given that Hülkenberg is not racing again this season in all likelihood, that's not difficult.
So the missus is on, my missus. Ferrari never wanted to pit Leclerc. They wanted a different strategy. We'll talk about that in a bit. Poor Lando, home race. Kilian, your godson, wants to know, says he misses Uncle Tom and says hello and wants to know, does he like Red Bull as much as him?
No.
And this, the Red Bull thing is purely him because in our house, we're McLaren's pretty much. Laura will, our Ferraris at the moment. Yeah, he loves Red Bull. So,
Kilian, I love you, but you're wrong.
Ocon ruined the Leclerc's race. Questionable. I think his race was ruined with his nose anyway. Lewis did a great race. Yeah, we all get. Perez got lucky with strategy. He needed a pit safety car. Happened pure luck, granted. And there we go. And she's a life of science. So I'm sure she'll be coming back with a few more other things. But let's go back to that thing then. Ferrari never wanted to pit Leclerc. They wanted a different strategy. What is going on with Ferrari doing Ferrari things? Why does this happen?
So the basis for the decision, seemingly from what Mattia Bonotto said, was that obviously they had 6 seconds to decide on what to do with Leclerc, but they defended their strategy because these guys, they've all got like mission controls and stuff. And they, you know, every lap they'll be running through what to do if there's a safety car, what to do if this happens, what to do if that happens. So they will know as soon as that safety car thing comes up, then I imagine there will be instructions of what to do would pop straight up as this is, you know, technically this would be the best strategy to do. And by keeping Leclerc out, that the cars were too close to double stack. Well, they could have double stacked, and then it just would have meant that Sainz would have lost out one position to Hamilton. But then by stopping Sainz, that guaranteed that he would stay ahead of Hamilton and gave Ferrari a better chance of winning the race. Mm-hmm. But I just think that it just seemed like, I think probably if they did what they did, but then what they said to Sainz about backing up Leclerc, backing up this pack to help Leclerc, that makes more sense. But then they didn't go through with that. And also, I don't think, you know, 10 car lengths is not going to be enough to fire up those hard tires anyway. So the strategy was doomed to fail from the start anyway, which, you know, is Ferrari. So, you know, if Sainz had backed up Hamilton, then Perez and Hamilton go past him very quickly. They chase down Leclerc, and then it's probably a Mercedes or a Red Bull winning the race from each other, and then Ferrari finishing third and fourth in another glorious Ferrari fuck up. They have Carlos Sainz to thank for that win. Otherwise, it would have been a third and a fourth instead of a or likely to be a third and a fourth, because Sainz had to save fuel. You know, he didn't have the pace of Leclerc. He'd used up too much.
Although
fuel.
The safety car did help him.
The safety car helped that. Obviously, he didn't have to save fuel once the safety car came out. But before that, his race was done. He was being chased down by Hamilton, and he would have finished probably third place with probably a bit of a distance from Hamilton having to save fuel. Mm. And I think Leclerc would have won the race anyway, even with Hamilton passing him. I don't think Hamilton had the pace to catch Leclerc. I was watching the sector time very, very, very
closely.
That's the word. Thank you. And I just don't think he had the pace to catch him unless Leclerc had massive drop off on those tyres, which is possible. But yeah,
who did get fastest lap, Max?
Hamilton on the last
Hamilton.
Lap.
Hamilton. Although my favourite line of the race was at the end when Sainz turned around, where Sainz the engineer goes, yeah, unfortunately Hamilton got the fastest point, and Sainz like, he can have it, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Sainz doesn't care about that.
No, he was like, he can have it, I don't really care, I've just won the Grand Prix and the British Grand Prix of that. Ferrari, I think, do have number issues, being that they do prefer Leclerc. But the problem
he's the better performer.
But the problem is, Sainz does perform very well, and he made all the right decisions, and he was very much on the strategy there of knowing exactly what
he was. He needed. But you know, Sainz is great at making something work in those kind of scenarios. But Sainz did everything he could to lose that race on Sunday. He was in control of the race, but Verstappen was chasing him down. Verstappen was in the faster car, and then he just gifted the lead to Verstappen in an error under pressure.
Yeah.
So then, obviously, only lost a couple of corners, and then Verstappen all of a sudden is slowing down. He's got the lead back, but he's being chased down by his teammate.
Yeah.
He's not got the pace of his teammate with a damaged car. He lets him by because he's instructed to by his team, and then there's a safety car, and it gives him the lead back again. So he was gifted the lead twice. Yes, he's done a great job in converting it, but. And I think it's great, you know, it's great retribution for
at
his almost,
time asking, though.
Yeah, his almost win in Monza. Yeah. Excuse me, his almost win in Monza from McLaren in, what was that? Was that 2020? 2020, his almost win. So I'm glad that he's got that win. But
I think it's as remarkable in some ways as a knock-on win. It's more the luck of how those cards fell.
Well, he had the pace for a podium finish.
Yeah, but
it's not like Ocon was nowhere in Hungary when he won the race. He was he was on for like an 8th, 10th place finish if he was lucky.
Yeah.
And it's only because he was so far back that he missed.
Okay,
Okay,
I'll go back with this. It's a Bottas win from back in the day. Yeah. It's grand, but it's because he was in the right place.
Which is kind of where Sainz sits at the moment for me in that Bottas level. You know, he's.
Oh, do you think he's that bad?
No, I think Bottas is that good.
Yeah.
I think Sainz is a great performer. He's a consistent performer. He's very, very fast. And on his day, he could be unbeatable. Mm-hmm. But there's too many days where he makes too many mistakes. You know, he's been in Formula One now, 150 races. He's been in Formula One a long time. He started at the same time as Max Verstappen. And his junior teammate Charlie Leclerc started in 2018. So he's got 3 years on Leclerc and 3 seasons on Leclerc, and yet he's the one that's being the team leader. They're both good for a couple of howlers a season. Verstappen's ironing those out. Verstappen was always good for a couple of howlers a season, but he's ironing that out now. He might make one mistake a year, one big mistake a year, but it depends on the circumstances. If he's out in control winning a race, then he'll probably win every race in the season if he doesn't have any retirements, because he's that consistent. But Sainz and Leclerc aren't there yet, but Leclerc I think is the more complete package than Sainz right now.
Let's talk about that start.
Yeah, go on then.
I mean, it was so hard to try and watch, and because there was so much happening. There was two crashes as well. But the first crash was caused, I believe, by Bottas. The first crash was caused by the pinch, which of, Gasly, Gasly, Russell and Zhou.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Russell did have nowhere to go. Okay. Grand. I don't think he had anywhere to go. He could have backed out and he was get something up the arse. That's what she said. So I don't quite like that was that first spin, and obviously Joe had a very lucky escape, once again proving Toto Wolff was a complete idiot. He was very, very wrong about the halo, which he himself has come out and said numerous times.
A few people have. I mean, Hamilton was against the halo at first. Yeah.
I mean, it does look shit. I was denying that fact.
I like it. I like it now. I look at F1 cars now without the halo, and it just makes me feel sick slightly.
Yeah, and just what could have happened and what did happen. And the catch fencing doing its job very well. I saw today, I hadn't seen it today. I always wondered if there was a shot of from the audience or the grandstand. And I saw that today of the car coming at the grandstand. But wow, the screams and the shouts from the grandstand was phenomenal.
I've not seen that yet.
It was on.
I need to have a look for that.
Yeah. It's just the noise as well of it happening is just mental. And it was mad. And I don't know, like, Button kept going, oh yeah, it was really good. It landed, it went in feet first into catch fencing. And I was like, but he can't get out because he's against tires. If he went the other way, he'd have landed at the other angle, in my mind. But anyway,
yes, he would have, but cars going into catch fencing leads to things like deaths of Dan Weldon. So I'm all for cars not going into catch fencing head first.
Okay. Or even top first, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought with the halo would have been safer to almost go the other way. Then Bottas broke, which then sent Albon into a spin. Albon got hit by someone. I don't know who.
Yeah, Vettel. Was it Vettel?
Vettel. That was it.
I can't remember. I'm just trying to find the onboards now. I'm just on F1 TV trying to find the onboards.
So that got spun around as well. Then Russell then tries to be superhero man. Or I don't know what was going on. I don't know whether, like, and Callum Ilott said, has come out and said, oh, it was brilliant for going over and checking on Joe. But I'm just like, why does he need to check on Joe when there's marshals and the medical car right behind him?
I've got a theory on that, but just going to go back. I've just got the Stroll's onboard from lap one. I'm not going to show it, obviously, for copyright reasons, but you've got it's Vettel that goes into the back of Albon, pitches him into the wall. He comes back across the track and then slams into the side of Ocon, which is where Ocon lost his suspension. And then who is that? That is Tsunoda smashing into him for a third impact, which is why.
No wonder he went to hospital.
He had three impacts on that collision there.
Yeah.
And I imagine the next onboard will probably be, no, it's not the next. I'm hoping the next one is going to be the crash. Here we go. This is Tsunoda's onboard. So, he's too far back. But the whole thing with Russell, do you know what? I love George Russell. You know, I'm very partisan with my support of British race drivers, but Russell disappointed me in this race. And I'll say for why, because, you know,
I think we're going to have the same argument here. I can't argue with you. What's going on, Tom?
He had a bad qualifying, which, you know, happens. It's wet conditions. You're either hero or zero in wet qualifying. And
sorry, the one time where he got his win was in a wet qualifying.
What, second? Yeah.
Seconds,
but
right.
So you're either hero or zero, and he was hero in Spa last year, and he's been zero the last two races in wet conditions. Yeah. And as well, I mean, to be fair, it was hindered as well by the yellow flag from Leclerc spinning, so in qualifying. So I can kind of understand that from that perspective. But in the race, you know, he's made a start on hard tires. He knows he's going to have less grip than other people, but you know, that's fine. You accept that you may lose a position or two, but you're going for the long strategy to try and make up the most amount of places. He's seen cars going past him. He's got a bad start anyway. And then he's just moving around. If at that position, you've got cars coming past you on both sides at that speed. I know they've only just started the race, but they're still going pretty bloody quick. And he's moving around. And then he creates this wedge that Gasly ends up going into, which then, as he moves across, it causes a collision with Zhou. And then straight away, Zhou's upside down. And I think part of the reason why he's running off to Zhou is that, you know, he feels guilty. Now, it's a first lap incident. If you're going to apportion blame, I think Russell's going to take probably the majority of the blame, but it is a racing incident. I don't think anyone was to blame for the incident.
No,
it was just a little naive from Russell in that opening sequence. But the thing that disappointed me then is everyone has seen Russell then get out of his car, run across to see if Joe's okay. Great, fantastic. Comes back to his car. He was touching it and trying to get things to work on it. Couldn't get it started. So then he said to the marshals, I'm going to the garage. I'm coming back. Don't touch the car. And then to try and basically ask the team what to do to try and get it going again, because obviously it's now red flag. He's thinking he might be able to get it back to the pits. But the suspension was buggered anyway. The transmission was buggered. He couldn't start it. There was only three wheels on it.
Like,
yeah, well, no, he had a puncher. He could have potentially.
There was no tire.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the tire had gone. So he might have been able to get it back though. But even so, based on that, and then he comes back. But then in the interviews, when he's trying to get the car back into the race, he was saying that I went off to see if Joe was okay. Came back and the car was on a flatbed. That's not true, and no. We've all seen that. It's like, yeah. I understand you're arguing.
Actually, I saw him because Laura commented. She said, "Why is he back in the car?" And we thought it was a replay, but he wasn't. He was actually in the car trying to get it started again.
Yeah. Now, the rule is you're not allowed to, in a red flag situation, if you can't get back to the pits under your own steam,
to your pits on your own steam allows you to get out of your car and do a hokey-cokey and...
Well, you can get out and get back in again because they can restart the cars on the energy recovery systems now. They don't need to start them with a laptop like they used to. Yeah. So he can literally just jump in it and start it, provided he's got enough battery power in it.
The rule should be if you leave the car, you can't... Because... You know, that's just mental.
I mean, one thing
Toto was just a bit like...
I don't know what's going on because I'm going to have to agree with you again, because the one thing on that as well is to get into an F1 car and to drive away in it, you have to have a 6-point harness secured, and you can't do that securing it safely on your own. You have to have an engineer down there, like strapping you in properly. You can't do it on your own. It's not like jumping in a car and whacking on a seatbelt. 6-point harness that's secured in a very specific way. So if he's then, you know, next thing, you're Charles Leclerc driving around Barcelona with no seatbelts on.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't do it. So yeah, I agree with that. If you're out of the car, you can't secure your seatbelts. You can't get back in the car and drive it. It's not safe.
But it just all seemed completely pointless, that argument. And I don't know, you know, I think even Toto, like, after said, like, even those are the rules, you know, like, he wasn't even trying to argue it. It didn't sound
I get why they argued it at the time, because it wasn't that long ago that there was a red flag. Sergio Perez got his car taken back to the track on the back of a flatbed, and yet he was allowed to restart the race.
How come was that?
That was just two words, Michael Massey.
All right. Oh, is it Massey's favorite? When was that?
It's 3 years ago. I can't remember. Was it Hungary, maybe? Okay. No, it wasn't Hungary because he didn't come back in that race. It was a race towards the end of last season. Mm-hmm. He was allowed to start the race after a red flag, mm-hmm. yet he was taken back because he went out on the formation lap. I think he crashed on the formation lap.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
And then they allowed him into the race because even though he got taken back to the pits on a flatbed.
That was it. But that was because the race hadn't started. That was the technicality, I think.
Well, the formation lap is technically part of the race.
Yeah, that was your argument when we did the podcast. There we go. I remember that now. But
throwback.
I just felt Russell was a bit... I know Russell wants to win or be in the British Grand Prix and win, but don't be like that. And I think he was just being a bit of a dick in general, in lots of different ways. And everyone's praising him and saying he's such a gentleman. I think it's fucking stupid. to be jumping out of your car when you don't know what's exactly going on. And I know he's in full set fire gear, but what happened if that, if Joe's car had gone up in flames at that point? Do you know what I mean? I don't think anyone would be looking at.
I mean, what is he going to do that the marshals? What is he going to do that the marshals aren't doing already?
Or the medical car that's right behind because it's first lap race. You know, it's not even like it's.
I can understand
tenth,
like
10th lap in, and it's right at the end of the track, and the, you know, he knows that he's got to go all the way around the track to get. You know, it just.
I can understand concern for your fellow competitor, and
I'm not denying that.
Seeing a crash like that happen right in front of you, that you, you know, whether it's your fault or not, that you've directly influenced that happening, it must be frightening. And but I think the thing for me really in that is, if he was definitely out of the race and he knew he was out of the race, then that's fine. I've got no major issue with it. But then to try and say that it's an injustice that he wasn't able to continue in the race because showing compassion. Then I think, you know, again, it's being a little bit naive and just being,
it
just
feels like he's just pulling on the heartstrings just to get a position, you know.
Back he's trying to get back into the British Grand Prix. So I understand the reasoning behind it, but it doesn't make it right. It's not, he is wrong in that decision. So,
well, we might have our dick of the day. So that's for that. I mean, I'm glad Joe is, you know, healthy and say, you know, and happy, and I believe Tsunoda is, and not Tsunoda, Albon is as well.
Yep, he is.
So, you know, I think, you know, once again, the car's proving how good they are at being safe. But how also, as soon as you lift it, they go flying.
Bit of air under them. They're aeroplanes at the end of the day, aren't they?
They're backwards aeroplanes, and they turn into an aeroplane as soon as they get any air under them. So that I just, I'm glad it shows the best and the worst of people, I think. And I agree, if Russell had got out and run over and done something, I don't know. It just feels all a bit weird. What is interesting is, do you think they would change the gap now between the tire wall and the catch fencing?
No, I don't see why. It's the first time it's ever happened. It's a freak accident. They will obviously be a natural debrief on it. Mm-hmm. And there will be. The FIA will go into lots of analysis, as they always do every time there's a crash, but especially a big crash like that. But I don't see any reason to change anything. I mean, I think what the problem was, at the end of the gravel trap, he went across to the edge of the gravel, and then he... where you've got the concrete for the runoff on the edge of the gravel trap, the wheels are digging in and then into the gravel, and then it hits that, and that's what pitches him up in the air. It's not the gravel that's pitched him up in the air, it's the runoff at the end of it, and that's thrown him over the top. So the only thing they could potentially do is make the runoff, make the concrete runoff slightly further into the gravel, or just remove it altogether.
Yeah.
It's an escape road, effectively. So anyone who goes into the gravel, if they can get to the escape road, then they can drive back around onto the track.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's just one of the, it's a freak accident, but they'll look at it and they'll think, well, how
it's a freak accident, but it is on corner one and there is likely to happen again.
But again, looking at it, you've seen a lot of accidents in the past, before the halo and before other safety features and, you know, side crash structures and everything and the hands device, where you think, oh God, if that had been a centimeter the other way, then he'd have been dead. You know, the one that always sticks out is Vittorio Liuzzi in Abu Dhabi, I think it was. With Michael Schumacher Michael Schumacher's second to last season in his comeback. Basically, Schumacher spun around and he was facing the opposite direction in the track. I'm saying this because I'm assuming you haven't seen this, but I think it was 2010 actually. So he spun around and was facing the wrong direction, and he went to drive away to try and spin the car back round again. Liuzzi came around the corner and he effectively drove up the front of Schumacher's car like a ramp, and his front wing was inches away from Schumacher's head because this was pre-halo. So he could have, you know, a few inches to the right and would have seen a red helmet bouncing across the track. And that still to this day scares the hell out of me. It wasn't like that. If you look at that accident, I think if you run that accident 50 times and exactly the same thing happens 50 times, given everything that's happened in Formula One now, I think Joe survives every time.
Yeah.
Because
I think Joe survives every time. It was more of the extraction and whether there should be more of a gap between the tire wall and the catch fence,
well,
to allow to allow extraction, even upside down.
It's a long extraction, fine, but he's fine. He's safe. He's not injured. I mean, the only thing would be is if the car went in top into the catch fencing, then. But again, if it had gone in top into the catch fencing, then he would have landed on his wheels and the extraction would have been easier.
Yeah.
So I don't think anything needs to change personally. I don't know. I'm not massively into safety, so I can't really say for sure.
I don't care about safety.
No, I do care about it. I'm not like an old boss I had that he came in. He was in charge.
Hang on, libel.
Yeah, I'm not gonna name names. A boss that I had in an old job that I'm no longer in. He believed in natural selection. He believed in natural selection, and he said that if someone's stupid enough to have an accident, then it's basically down to them. If they don't survive, it's their fault. And then this guy was given like the head of safety role in that area of the company that I worked for.
Jesus.
And I'm just like, this guy's in charge of safety. And then one of his friends died in an accident on the road. Yeah. And I was not going to be that guy to mention his policy. But I just like, yeah, do you still believe in it? Because that's a really weird way to think. Yeah. So anyway, I'm not going to get on that rabbit hole any further because I don't want to get sued.
Get out. Come back out.
Yeah. And I'm not editing this one, so you're going to put the bleeps in if I start naming names.
Oh, Jesus. anyway, McLaren, let's talk about something that normally your happy place, but maybe not at the moment.
Yeah, not so much today. I mean, it's still a sixth place, but
Ricardo, I made my McLaren Lego.
You'd made it.
I've made it. I just need to take a picture of it. Laura, send me a picture. Yeah, it's amazing. I loved it. Brilliant. I can't even remember the name. What's the thing where if you pick up a car, one wheel spins one way and the other one spins the other?
Differential.
It's got differential in it. So I actually understood what differential is. I've never understood that. I never understood what it looks like or anything. I'm not a mechanic. I have no mechanical skills or understanding.
There is a really good YouTube video out there which describes a differential, but the video was made in like the 70s and it's all like based on the differential in like these old time cars and stuff.
And it's
done with sticks and cogs, and it's a really, really good video.
Yeah. I mean, this car has differential into it. So I now understand what differential is and how it works, which I found really fascinating. And it's got like, you can see the V6 engine going up and down and or the Halo. It's quite technically cool. Anyway, sorry, I'll carry on. Anyway, go back to McLaren.
That's good. Ricardo has got 2 points finishes in this season.
All right.
In 10 races. And Lance Stroll, who has had 3 points finishes. And what Zhou has had, 3 points finishes. And these guys are all in worse cars. Albon's had 2 points finishes. I just think, what?
It's just
shocking.
What was his excuse this shocking. Week?
He just didn't know. I'm now past the point with him that Daniel Ricciardo, when he signed for McLaren, I was like, great. I've got my favorite and my second favorite drivers in Formula One in my favorite team. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't fall out because they're too competitive with each other. No chance of that. I mean, I wanted Lando to be quicker than Daniel.
Yeah, now you're wishing the other way. I wish they were competitive and arguing with each other.
I mean, Daniel Ricciardo is the reason that McLaren, well, it's probably not, to be fair, that's probably a bit harsh. It's not the reason McLaren finished fourth last year instead of third, because I think they would have had a better chance of finishing ahead of Ferrari had Ricciardo been scored, even half the points that Lando scored. He would have been closer.
Yeah.
And then they would have been closer to that third place. And this year, I don't think McLaren are going to finish fourth. I think they're going to finish fifth or maybe even sixth.
Who's going to finish? What's constructors like at the moment?
That's going to be down to Daniel. They're currently fourth, 73 points. They're only 6 points ahead of Alpine on 67, and then Alfa Romeo are on 51. But they're not going to develop the car anymore. They haven't, because of the budget cap, they are not going to be developing any more upgrades. Anything is still in the pipeline. They're still going to come through. But that car's not going to get much quicker than it is now. It's only going to be them trying their understanding of the setup
Yeah.
So they're not going to get much quicker. So I think Alpine are going to pass them for fourth, and Alfa Romeo potentially, now that Zhou is really starting to get on top of things. Yeah, he started off very slowly, but yeah. Now, you know, you've got Bottas that will achieve probably 75% of the points that Norris is achieving, maybe more. And now you've got Zhou is going to outscore Ricciardo, which means they're going to be close. I'm pretty sure Zhou will outscore Ricciardo.
Did anyone say, do you remember back in the day when there was an idiot from England that lives in Ireland that said that Zhou would be really good and he would be better than Tsunoda? And yeah, do you remember that? No, maybe not.
I do remember that. Yeah. I'd just like to
point out. No one believed me.
I just like
to point out. You were like, no, Tsunoda's still going to be better than Zhou.
I'd just like to point out, currently, Yuki Tsunoda has 11 points. Guanyu Zhou has 5 points.
Yes,
so that's still
not the point.
Yeah, well, it is exactly the point.
Ironically, it's not.
It is exactly the point. Don't go bringing stuff up to try and prove a point and then go, oh, no, let's not talk about that when you find out it doesn't prove the point.
No, sorry. The point is how good a driver he is, not how many points he's got.
Okay. All right, okay. So, based on that then, which car is better, Alfa Romeo or AlphaTauri?
You would say AlphaTauri. No, you'd say Alfa Romeo. You'd say Alfa Romeo.
I say Alfa Romeo have got a much better car this year than AlphaTauri.
And I think I even said that from the very beginning.
But Tsunoda is in an AlphaTauri. So he is in a worse car than Zhou, and he's got more than double the points. So, yes, he's had a couple of good races now. Zhou is starting to get the grip of things. But I can see Zhou outscoring Ricciardo this year, the way things are going. That's all I mean. But that's just more about how bad Ricciardo's been this year. Tsunoda, I think, will outscore Ricciardo. Tsunoda, I think, is probably on for 11th place in the championship, maybe 12th. And I think he might actually outscore Pierre Gasly this year. I've got a feeling he's going to outscore
Gasly. At this rate, Zhou will outscore Ricciardo.
That was my point. Zhou will outscore Ricciardo. I think he will.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said Tsunoda.
Yeah, both of them will.
And then so when we Michael Schumacher, that'd be fucking hilarious.
I don't think Schumacher will. I think it's a flash in the pan. I think that Schumacher's only point scorer of the season.
Yeah. Oh, I do.
I'm really harsh. I do think it will be his only point scorer of the season.
But
I'm glad he got it.
Yeah, I'm glad he got it. Grand. But and I'm glad the hat is on. Completely off the boil, you know.
But do you know who is completely off the boil? Aston Martin.
Like, off the boil? They're sat in the freezer, mate. They're not even on the... You know,
not only just their car that is bad, that operationally as well. That's two races in a row where they had a great opportunity to consolidate and they decided to roll the dice on a suboptimal strategy. So by not stopping... Vettel and Stroll, all they did was guarantee they were going to drop down through the pack on the restart. And they did exactly the same thing in Canada, except they didn't stop Vettel and they did stop Stroll. And as a result, Stroll got points and Vettel didn't, even though Vettel was the one running ahead on track.
Yeah.
And they've brought so many updates to this car in the last few weeks. And the car's still dog shit. It's still right at the back. I think now Aston Martin will finish last in the Constructors' Championship. That's my prediction right now. Currently, Aston Martin still on 18 points, Williams on 3. I think with the updates that Williams have brought, they're going to start
scoring more
consistent points. And Latifi
suddenly has found his car, found that car.
I still don't think Latifi's going to be amazing.
I don't think he's going to be amazing, but he's still finding the car and he's still hopefully going to claw some points up. The only thing that's holding up Aston Martin is Vettel's experience. That is literally the only thing.
Yeah, but even so, he's not scored that many points.
No, but I'm not denying that. But that's the only thing that's holding that team up, you know.
I mean, to be fair, he scored 15 points and Stroll scored 3. So he has scored a lot more points than Stroll. But even so, I just think that Aston Martin are... I think you're going to have Albon and Vettel on similar points and you're going to have Stroll and Latifi on similar points. And I think Williams could do it. I think Williams, with their new concept... that Albon tried out. It's just a shame about the rain because that car looked great in the dry and we didn't get to see it in the dry because it was in pieces by the end of the first corner. So I really do think that car is going to be a point scoring car
in Albon's
hands. It's only going to be in Albon's hands for the moment because it's not going to be until France that Latifi gets those parts. And that's if he gets them in France, because now, obviously, with the damage to the existing car, they've now got to refabricate all that that they've had on Albon's car. So Albon may not have the whole package for Austria, yeah. But certainly by France or hopefully before the summer break, you'll see Latifi with that car. But just as he starts to get to grips with the old car, they end up changing it all. Yeah. But I do think that Williams will start scoring more points. And Haas are only planning a couple of big upgrades all season, so I can't see them making big strides. They'll only get worse.
No, I think they'll sit where they are. And, you know, I think they will stay in eighth.
I think they'll finish ninth. Either Aston or Williams or both will pass them. But I think Aston or Williams will pass them.
No, Aston won't. They're just a crock of shit.
Yeah, either Aston or Williams will pass them.
Haas is a bit of an inexperienced driver that needs to have more confidence. And I'm hoping this now gives him a bit more confidence. We all want Mick Schumacher to do well. You know,
I can see Vettel getting one headline result, which will be enough to keep them ahead of Haas.
Yeah.
But it's just whether Williams pass them both. And I think they could do.
Which would be interesting if it does. If they suddenly kick up. I mean, Albon, as much as I fucking hated him last time. I do wonder, though, with the crash, was it because he forgot how wide his car was?
You and this theory about Albon. No.
Did he forget how wide his car was again?
No, Vettel forgot how close it was. I just saw it on the onboard. He just went straight into the back of him.
All right. I can't give out for Albon for once. Have that theory, though. You just have no idea where his car is. I'm going to fucking put blinkers on it just to make it like they're beacons just to flash above the wheels.
Question.
I had that. Go on.
Answer. Did you see any of the F2 this weekend?
I didn't, but I heard there was a big crash. That's all I heard.
There was.
And it was really cool. Actually, weirdly, they were all at work. They were talking about the F2. I was like, what? I haven't seen that.
So I wanted to bring this up just because it's just driving standards. And basically, Roy Nassani, who has tested a Formula One several times and is on...
Well, I thought you were about to say Williams. Tested positive.
That will be the trend. I believe he's still on the books at Williams. He may not be now. They may have let him go, but he was basically a cash bunny. He was just given loads of money. I don't know if that's a phrase. If it is, I've just coined it.
Cash cow, bunny.
Possibly, cash, or other animals are available. Doesn't have to be bunnies. A cash hedgehog.
Am I worried? I'm actually going to Google cash bunny. Cash bunny, not dash bunny.
No, there's cash money, not cash bunny. But either way,
cash bunny billionaires.
Oh, okay. So it is. Okay. I haven't coined it then. Okay. I'm not going to copyright it then. So basically,
buy one on eBay, on Amazon.
Oh, who was it? I can't remember now. One of the Red Bull Junior drivers. Was it?
Oh, no, it's Driller a game.
Or Lawson? Might have been Lawson. Either way, basically, Nassani, I think it was Lawson, pushed. We'll say Lawson, but it might not be. I will claim a disclaimer on that. Push Lawson off track. Nassani went off track himself. Then he came back on track in a dangerous manner and then veered across to stop, let's say, Lawson overtaking him, pushed him off the track. And then he then lost control. Nassani went on his merry way. And as he went around the corner, the other car that we believe to be Lawson then hit the sausage curb and then launched into the air. And basically speared the side of Nassani's car, which, you know, is karma for what Nassani did to him in the first place. But,
but that's not karma. That's fucking vengeance.
Literally, what I said about Schumacher earlier, Michael Schumacher Sr., without the halo, we're seeing horrific injuries to.
But is it because Nassani. We've got the halo as well, people just aren't caring as much?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it might be that whole thing you're in this incredibly safe car, you're in this safety cell, you're completely enclosed, you feel comfortable, you feel safe, so you take more risks. It is possible.
But is that a good thing or bad thing? And is it now breeding more red flags? I don't feel like the last few seasons we've had more red flags.
We have definitely had more red flags the last few seasons.
Is that safe? Is that because they've become safer, or is because
I think they're doing more red flags? Like they won't allow you to race if there's a damaged barrier now.
Yeah. Whereas
I remember was it the Dallas race in the
80s? They'll allow you to drive past a car in the middle of the fucking road. I always find that really weird.
Oh my God. Did you see the whole, I think it was Extinction Rebellion. Did you see that?
Oh no. So I didn't see it. I've heard it. They came out after the accident.
No. So basically after the parade lap finished, I thought it was on Hanger Straight, but apparently it was on Wellington Straight. I couldn't tell from the video I saw. So the Wellington Straight is you've got the first corner, the sweeping right, which is where Joe had his accident, and then it goes downhill, and then it has a right left, and then that's then the Wellington Straight, which then goes down into Brooklands left hander, then the Loughfield right hander, and then to Copps. Okay. So if you get an idea, that's how it runs. So what happened was these protesters were dressed up like marshals or similar to marshals, and then somehow managed to circumvent the other marshals to walk onto the track. They did it.
They did that
after the parade lap had gone round, so they were just lining up on the grid. But thank heavens that there was a red flag, because they were literally just sitting on the middle of the track. And an F1 car going down there, anyone who's seen...
just dragging them, it's brilliant. Yeah. You should watch the video.
I've seen the video. I've seen a video anyway, but anyone who's seen Tom Price's accident in South Africa in the 70s, a marshal runs on track holding a fire extinguisher to put out a fire in another car. Didn't look. Tom Price wipes him out. The fire extinguisher from the marshal hits Tom Price on the head and kills him, and the marshal is obliterated and sent into pieces. It's absolutely horrific. And that would have happened to the marshals. And not only that, they could have endangered the lives of other drivers and people on the track, as well as their own lives. So it's just, I completely agree with the right to protest. And I think Hamilton and Vettel said something similar, that they agree with their right to protest, but not in that way.
They're endangering all the other marshals.
Yeah, and the crowd and the drivers.
Yeah.
Just insane. But apparently they've all been arrested, so thank God.
Jesus, the marshals really didn't give a flying fuck. They were dragging those fuckers out of the way.
But the whole point was, it just shows the lack of understanding of it, because, you know, Formula One are doing more than any other sport to combat climate change. Yes, I know it's not the most green sport in the world,
but also, learn about Formula One, that if there's a red flag, that is not the time to go out and protest.
Well, no, they went out to protest at the end of the parade lap. That was what their plan was going to be. So first lap of the race, when it's got the most eyes on it, the race has to stop because all these people are sitting on track. But there was a red flag before they got down there, so it just didn't work.
Yeah.
But
I'm just watching the video. It's fucking hilarious.
But given that Formula One are aiming to be carbon neutral, you know, as much as that's worth, just basically buying up other people's carbon credits or selling them to other people, but aiming to be carbon neutral by 2030.
And ironically, that was what they were spouting about the whole weekend.
Well, that's what I mean. You've got two of the biggest profile activists for climate change in the sport, trying to actively change the sport, and they're on board with it, and they're trying to change and make the sport more green and make it so that it doesn't have an impact on the environment. So there's no fuel is being burned in the making of this race. You know, it's like an animal disclaimer.
But fight from within. Don't fight from, you know, that's, it's just like,
there's other ways to do it.
And I don't think it was a very clever idea. If you're going to do that, go and do it in Saudi Arabia, where you'll end up with hitting three stones with one throw. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't do it at the British Grand Prix, where Sky and everyone and F1 are releasing their green thing, and, you know, and all about about eco-friendliness. Yeah. Go and do it in Saudi Arabia. Which is an oil barren country. Don't do it at all. Don't get me wrong. Don't do it at all. But do it. Like, just fucking. Do you know what the problem is? People, these protesters are just fucking idiots. And then they wonder why no one's listening to them. Just like, oh my God, what is wrong with you? Just get over yourself. You fucking idiots. And I know you're trying to save the planet, no one's denying that, but think about it. You obviously have one brain cell and it's completely on environmentalism, and you've forgotten about everything else.
I'm pretty sure there's no
they all look like they need a haircut as well.
I'm pretty sure there's no Extinction Rebellion supporters that follow this podcast, so I think we're safe to say that. But again, I agree with their right to protest, and I agree with, you know, we need to do something about climate change, and we, you know, we are doing that, and I'm actively looking at other solutions right now. But that's for my personal transportation. But that's more about not giving money to the greedy oil conglomerates like Shell.
So you're going to give it to Elon Musk instead?
I'm not going to get a Tesla. I can't afford a Tesla. Jesus. No, I'm just looking at other options. I'm looking at not having a car, or just only having one car in the household, and making that maybe a hybrid or electric, and me cycling to work and stuff like that, just to try and.
Oh, like ridiculous. The old days.
Yeah. But £2 a litre car, £2 a litre for fuel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're €2.20 at the moment, €2.20 a litre.
And yet Shell are posting profits like higher than they ever have done.
Yeah.
Now they're like 70% up on their usual annual profit. Yeah. It's just greed.
Yeah.
And as well, do you know, right now, during the fuel crisis back in 2009.
Oh yeah.
Or that around there, price of oil right now per drum is cheaper than it was in 2009. When it was like everyone was screaming about it being £1 a litre. Where's the rest of it going? I know some of it goes in as tax, but even so.
I know, it's mad.
Anyway, this isn't a climate change or a political podcast.
No, I feel like there needs to be a change. It's always going to be interesting with Formula One about how they tackle that and how they are going to go green by 2030. That is only 8 years' time.
Mm-hmm. It is a very ambitious target.
I feel like, yeah.
So who was your driver of the day then? Because the official driver of the day was Sergio Perez. Who was yours?
Hamilton, I think.
I think it's a good shout. I'm undecided. Because my rules on driver of the day is normally if they make a mistake in the race, they can't be driver of the day. But unfortunately, that rules out most of the field.
Yeah.
The only person that it wouldn't rule out...
Alonso?
Would be... I mean... He was quite fortuitous. Max Verstappen.
No, but it was quite fortuitous. But I'm just trying to think of people that weren't just wouldn't rule out.
It can't be Verstappen because I have issues with his driving standards at the end of the race with Mick Schumacher. So for me, it's
and
not Max Verstappen.
And he whinged like a little girl all the way around.
Well, I'm not massively fussed about that. But even so, for me, his driving standards at the end of the race were very similar to that of his driving standards in Saudi Arabia, except not for a win, as in Saudi Arabia 2021. Yeah. Sergio Perez... He didn't really do anything wrong. It wasn't his fault that he was back in the pack. And then he did recover very well. He was lucky with the safety car. So reasonable shout. Charles Leclerc, I think he probably is a very strong shout. But again, he caused his own damage to the car with that aggressive lunge on Perez. Sainz, not driver of the day. He made too many mistakes and he wasn't quick enough. George Russell, definitely not. Hamilton, between Hamilton and Sainz, I think it's not Norris. He wasn't quick enough, and after that, no, yeah. So it's between Hamilton and Leclerc for me. Yeah.
I think Hamilton.
I think out of those two, I would probably put Hamilton, but Perez is in that fight as well.
I just think he did some great overtakes. Was, you know, had a great race, kept a level head, and
I mean, I suppose when you look at it. That Mercedes wasn't the quickest car on track. It was the slowest out of those three cars.
He had the same problems that a lot of them did, going onto those softs, and questioning what the fuck. And he still made it. He just questioned it and just made the best of it,
Yeah, I mean, I think he would have been second behind Leclerc had there not been the safety car. Yeah. So based on that, I think you're right.
There we go. Dick of the day.
Russell.
Russell, grand.
I'm fine with that.
I get Russell as dick of the day.
Sorry, George, but I just it's more just his comments and everything that just annoyed me. Beyond that, I can't think of anyone else really. Russell's the only one.
Yeah, no one was actually. I mean, George said.
Nice.
Sorry, Max. Obviously, driving standards.
That would have been a shout.
Good shout. But or just Ricardo for just being shit, but you can't give for being shit.
You can. You can do it for whatever you want.
I don't feel that you can overly give it for being shit.
for disappointing a nation.
Albon did nothing wrong. You know, I don't think anyone did anything wrong at all. I think it is. Yeah, it's your idiot.
Yeah, sorry, George, but still a great talent and still got a great future ahead of him. Just suboptimal this weekend, I believe. But it was bound to happen at some point. He's had great consistency all year. He was never going to finish top five in every race, so it was very unlikely.
No.
It's fine. He's still in a decent position in the world championship, 111 points. Yes, Hamilton is closer to him, but
Bertie's our dick of the day, and that's important.
Not far off Sainz, Leclerc, or Perez, to be honest. It's only really Verstappen that he's nowhere near. But unless Mercedes bring more updates, I can't see Mercedes. I think Mercedes will still potentially finish the season with a race-winning car, but Red Bull just seemed too far ahead. But there is some, I don't know much about this, but there is some technical regulations that apparently some clarifications that they're bringing out, which allegedly may well hinder Red Bull, because there's clarifications on flexi floors, apparently. And the suspicion is that the Red Bull is basically flexing to the point where it's constantly in contact with the ground, causing...
Well, that would explain the sparks effect that constantly come out of it.
Yeah.
More than any other.
And the lack of porpoising, because it's not disconnecting, because
I wonder if that's going to screw up McLaren.
They reckon that if what they think is happening is happening, then it would actually hurt all three of the top teams.
Okay.
Just to varying degrees. But I guarantee if it hurts Red Bull and Ferrari more than Mercedes, then the hashtag F1XED will be trending even more than it already is.
Yeah. I think, what's that? What's F1XED? I'm not into your hashtags.
It's just fixed.
Oh,
whenever something happens that is basically like the end of last year.
Yeah.
F1XED, that was trending quite heavily. And then Ferrari and Red Bull fans use it whenever anything happens that benefits Mercedes or Hamilton as well.
Yeah.
It's the old thing of like when people used to call the FIA Ferrari International Assistance. Which was actually proved to be correct at one point.
Yes,
because...
but it was when they hid the rules.
Yeah. And when you ask,
sorry, if you show us if you show us your dirty homework and let us copy it, and we just won't have a go at you for copying your homework.
Back in the early 2000s, Bernie Eccleston was interviewed on the grid to a race, and then Martin Brundle said to him, "So who do you want to win the race, Bernie?" And he said, "I don't care who wins the race as long as it's a Ferrari."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How funny.
So it's just like, when you've got the head, well, not the head, but like the commercial rights holder who has huge sway in Formula One saying that, it's just, it's just mental.
It's money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool. Right. Shall we, are we doing predictions?
Yeah, may as well.
2 weeks.
So we've got,
are you writing these down? Because I haven't actually got them.
I can if you want, but it's currently on a bit of paper because I don't have any other method of writing it down.
I'm going to pull it up for 2 seconds. No, I'm going
to... Oh, I haven't turned my calendar over to July yet. You can tell I've been away. Let me turn my calendar over to July.
Who got you that calendar? Normally I do, but I didn't get you on this.
So this is the calendar that I got from my in-laws, okay? Bless them. Love them. It's fun, but yeah. It's one of those calendars where you basically, it's a...
enhance them.
Yeah, so they've put my name on a Formula One car or a car that looks like a Formula One car to make it look like I'm driving it. I'm just like, okay, fine. Thank you.
I quite like that.
Yeah, it's just kind of
that's
like...
That's very thoughtful.
It is very thoughtful, and it's a very lovely gift. It's not something that I would have bought myself, I have to admit, but it's a useful calendar.
No one buys things like that for yourself. Is this episode 80?
True. Something like that. I don't know. I've not done the last three.
Yeah, it is. Tom Daly. I'm just going to go back to What happened in Canada?
What happened in Canada?
Yeah, I just want to know if I got points. Hang on.
Oh.
Who? Well, because Tom Daly did it. Tom Downey.
Tom Daly.
Isn't he? He's the diver.
Yeah, he's the diver.
Tom Downey. Right.
Yes, let's go through the predictions for last week then, because I wasn't on. I didn't like listen to the entire podcast last week. I listened to about half of it, so, or the week before. So, what did you put for Canada then?
I put pole for Leclerc and Tom put Max.
I can't remember who got pole.
Hang on, 2 seconds cooler. Right, we are actually going back in time.
It was Max, wasn't it? I'll find out.
Hang on.
Great content this is.
Yeah, sorry. Qualifying.
Canada qualifying. Verstappen.
So here I lost.
Okay. And then what else did you say?
So you've just gained points here from Tom Downing.
Downing. Right. Tom Downing. Daly, Tom Downing.
Dowling. Win, Max.
Yes.
Bollocks. I had signs. Fuck! I was ahead of my time. I was a week ahead.
So what was your bold prediction?
Mine was Haas gets in the point. I was a week ahead.
Yeah.
I would have got everything.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. It was Leclerc and Pope. No, I wouldn't have got Leclerc and Pope. Yeah. I would have got 2 points there.
Sorry, I keep bashing my microphone because I'm not used to having a headset.
I would have got signs and Hassan points. Right. Hot take. Signs finishes ahead of Perez.
No. Yes. Canada, yes.
Did he?
Yeah, he finished second in Canada.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Signs finishes ahead of who?
You said Perez.
Of Perez. Yeah.
Because Perez didn't finish.
Perez didn't finish. There we go.
Okay. Right. So let's look ahead then.
You gained 2 points, you bastard.
Austria. Well, I'm not keeping count anyway. So.
No, you're not. I thought you were.
No.
So
Austrian Grand Prix, 10th of July is the Grand Prix, 2 p.m. start for UK listeners. Work that out for your own time zone. We have a sprint race this weekend, 3:30 scheduled.
I'm not doing anything about it. We're not doing pole and win for that.
No. Well, pole. We don't predict pole anyway, do we?
Yeah.
Pole will be winner of the year. Oh, no, pole will be just be qualifying, wouldn't it? Because winner of the sprint race isn't the pole position guy.
No.
Okay. So, yeah. So, qualifying then is Friday, 4 o'clock UK time. So,
yeah, but we're talking about pole. We're not talking about winners of any qualifying. So, we're not talking about the winning qualifying. We're talking about pole.
Which is the winner of qualifying?
I thought
they changed it. This is.
Oh, my God. I can't keep up.
Yes.
This is like the
thing of contention. Basically, now pole position.
This is changed from last year, right?
Yes. Pole position is now declared as the person who is quickest in qualifying. But that might not necessarily be the person who starts from first in the race. The winner of the sprint is the person who starts in first place in the race. But the winner of pole position is the person who is quickest in qualifying.
I'm still clarifying pole in this terms as the person that starts the fecking race.
Okay, so we're going to say, for our predictions here, we're going to basically say the winner of the sprint race.
Yes, the so pole. Predict, who's on pole? Who's first of the grid in the actual race?
Look, Carl, I completely agree with you. I 100% agree with you.
Then why are you arguing with me?
However, it is not in the rules at the moment. But I agree that it should be. So, anyway, so winner
we
of the
make
sprint,
the rules. This is our podcast. We do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah. So it's
including swear and shout.
Winner of the sprint, winner of the race, and hot take.
No, pole, winner.
No.
Hot take.
No, sprint race winner.
Fine. Whatever.
You can put pole if you want, but it makes it.
I've written pole. Leave me alone.
Okay. Okay, it's fine. You're making the rules today. You're in charge. So.
Yeah. Power.
Okay. Right. Austria. Pole. 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 Ooh. I think the race is going to suit the Ferrari more than the Red Bull.
But is that your hot take?
No, I just, no, I'm just thinking out loud. So, and based on that,
ironically, the Red Bull ring will be better.
Yeah,
for Ferrari.
Based
I love
on
that.
Leclerc's amazing qualifying record, I'm going to say pole is Leclerc.
I think I'm probably going to join you. I mean, enjoy that. Nice. Right. Winner. Chicken dinner.
Oh, hang on. No, I'm going back on this. Sorry.
Oh, fuck. We're going.
Official poll will be Leclerc. Winner of the sprint race will not be Leclerc.
Go on. So who's the winner of the
winner
sprint race?
Winner of the sprint race is going to be Verstappen. Winner of the sprint race is going to be Verstappen.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. Because he's never going to be able to hold whatever he's got, is he?
Yeah. So I'm going Verstappen for starting the race in first position.
I'm going with Hamilton.
Don't know why. Hamilton has a really bad run in sprint races. He's never had a good sprint
race. I have a bad run in in this competition. So, you know, why not?
Also, it's a bit of a bogey track for Mercedes and Hamilton as well.
Yeah.
Right, so winner of the race.
Go on.
Just yawning away.
Verstappen for me.
Okay. Perez. More out of hope than anything else.
So your initial discussion was this track is going to be better for Ferrari than Red Bull. And currently you have Verstappen on pole and Perez to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
Leclerc will qualify.
That works.
Leclerc will be quickest in Q3. Max will win the sprint race, and then Leclerc and Max will come together, leaving it clear for Perez to win.
Yeah. Right, go on then. What's your hot take? And not having all that as the hot take, because that was too long.
What's your race winner?
My race winner? I said Verstappen.
Did you? Okay, sorry. I missed that. Hot take. Let's go with... Daniel Ricciardo, glorious return to form.
Bollocks, that's literally what I was about to write.
Really?
Yeah, I was thinking Ricciardo to get points, but, you know, but glorious rise to form.
Yeah, return to form.
Glorious return to form. Okay.
And yours?
I mean, when we're talking about return to form, we're talking about last couple of years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
I'm saying podium or fourth place, you know, so like a hard fought fourth place with some great overtakes. He's going to race really well and outperform the car. Again, more out of hope than expectation.
Norris in second.
He does go well in Austria. It's one of his best tracks.
Norris in second. There we go. Right.
If I was being really bold, I would have put Norris for the win.
Yeah, but you're not stupid.
No.
Right. Should we end it?
Yeah, unless there's anything else you want to talk about. That's all pretty good.
No, I've got Love Island in a few minutes. So.
Oh, my God. You're not at home. Why are you watching Love Island?
Because I like it.
What?
It's Casa Amor, right? It's, like, important. Casa Amor is important at the moment.
We are no longer friends. And on that note, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. It's been fun. We will never do another one because me and Carl are no longer friends. We'll see you all next time.
Bye!
Boom, boom. I can't believe you watched Love Island.
Love Island.